Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcasts. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta, and oh my God, are we here with a special guest. He is former Mississippi State Bulldog and 2021 MLB All-Star. Is that good? You tell me. He is a member of the San Diego Padres. It is my pleasure to welcome Adam Frazier to the Officially Unofficial Podcast. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. And I'll just give people a background on how this happened, because people are like, Johnny, how do you pull this shit off? How do you get Frazier? How do you get Musgrove? How do you get all these guys in the pod? I'll give the people a background. So I was with Luplo last Monday. He landed. We were watching Sunday Night Football. I think we went for dinner and I got after it. I'll be honest. I showed up to work 2 hours of sleep on the Monday, but that's besides the fact. I was a little bit drunk. I had a couple beers and we FaceTime Musgrove, humble brag. And Frazier's there. And the thing about Musgrove is Musgrove said it so casually. He's like, I'm just with Frazier. And I was like, Adam Frazier. And I don't remember that much of the conversation. So what did I say specifically in the conversation? Because I think I said something about risking my lung to get you on the show.
Yeah, I think you said you would give away your sister to get me on the show. Something like that. Along
those
lines.
That's a great one. That's a great line. Holy shit. That's a
powerful. Yeah, it was something like that, but it was great. It was unexpected. Wasn't expecting to get invited on the podcast. But yeah, you and Luplo, like, you had a good time. So I wish we could have joined y'all for that.
Yeah, no, we'll do it in the off season. We'll get something going here. Obviously, I'm in Toronto, but I'll fly down. You send me that text. You send me just the airplane text. I'll be on the first flight wherever the boys are going to be. But I wanted to bring this up because I'm a big Musgrove guy. Everyone roasts me. Everyone says I always say good things about Musgrove, which you have to. What did Musgrove say? Did he help sell the podcast to you? What did he say specifically? And if he didn't, that's fine. But did he say something to you?
No, yeah, he definitely sold it a little bit. He's like, Johnny's awesome. It's fun and, you know, easygoing podcast. So he was like, get on there. It'd be a good time. And I was like, yeah, no problem.
That's just all
that. He said you're his boy. So, if you're his boy, you're my boy. So
there it is. And honestly, that might be something, just those words that you just said, someone put that on my gravestone. Adam Frazier, if you're Musgrove's boy, you're my boy. Johnny Junta. But anyways, man, I wanted to go into a couple things. The first thing I wanted to discuss was Mississippi State. And for the people listening, we're a heavy American podcast, so it's not really much of an accent. But to me, you have an incredible accent, something that I kind of mimic and wish that I had someday. But I wanted to go into Mississippi State, man. I mean, what was your time like there? I don't know. Is it a party school? Like, what's the deal with Mississippi State?
I would not say it's a party school. No, I mean, I grew up just outside of Athens, Georgia. So that would be considered to me the party. But Mississippi State's just in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, small town of Starkville. And all it is a baseball school, really. I mean, if you get online and check out the stadium, the fans, the tradition, and everything. Or if you saw Mississippi State in Omaha this past year, you kind of could see the support system that we had there. So that's why I went there, is to play ball. And, you know, I'm glad it happened.
And I'll be honest with you. We had Bednar on the podcast, who's both of our guy. I got to ask you this. Is his brother just like, I'm assuming his brother will never have to pay for a drink in Mississippi ever again. Is that what the case is there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a legend, instant legend. I mean, that dude drug his sack down the mound and on 3 days rest and no hit Vanderbilt in a, you know, a national championship deciding game. I mean, if somebody makes him pay, that's on them. They should they should take a lap for that, because I mean that guy's awesome.
Dude, I saw the stories, and I wasn't a big college baseball guy because I went to JUCO, and obviously that's not massively televised, and I hit 168. But his brother, and Bednar is such a humble dude. You would just have no idea that Bednar is nasty. What was it like playing with Beds? I mean, he's a massive Pittsburgh guy through and through, loved by the fans. He just soaks it all up. And obviously, he was electric on this podcast. So what was it like being teammates with him?
It was a lot of fun. He's great. He doesn't take himself too seriously, and he loves getting shit talked by the boys. So he's fun to be around, and he's a good time. So, and yeah, he's nasty, like you said. The guy's tough to hit, and I think he's going to be a closer in this game for a long while.
Yeah, no, I love Beds, man. But the next thing I wanted to bring up is your time with Pittsburgh. I mean, obviously, you could trade at the deadline. You're hitting like a 330 clip going into the All-Star break. But that's a city where I think it's really underrated, because that ballpark's one of the best in baseball. And when that team is good, the fans there are absolute fucking psychopaths. I mean, they're like, they will roast you through and through. You saw with the whole playoff thing, chanting whoever, I don't remember who it was, but what was your time like there in Pittsburgh?
That was a good time. I mean, I grew up a lot there. Broke in when I was 24 and spent 5 years there, five and a half. So I felt like grew from a boy to a man, I guess, in other words. But yeah, like you said, I mean, that ballpark's beautiful. You know, sometimes we take it for granted, but then you walk out after a game and see the skyline lit up, and you kind of stop and take it in. But yeah, it's that team needs to be good again, because like you said, those fans, they love it. And, you know, they live and die by the Pittsburgh Pirates, you know. So it's a great city with great support. I just, wish we would have been better during my time there.
So, like, did you soak it in? Because obviously being from Georgia, I'm assuming you're not a big hockey guy and all that kind of stuff. But they're a massive hockey, like, city hockey town with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Did you go to, like, any Penguins games or anything like that?
Yeah, huge hockey town. We'd go. We go to a couple a year pretty much. You know, I live in Nashville now, so I started becoming a hockey guy with the Preds there. They're a lot of fun to watch as well. But, we go to a couple. I didn't really, meet any of those hockey guys, which I had, because I'm sure they're a good time. But
they get after it.
But, yeah, you start seeing that fan support for them, because they're pretty legit.
And this is completely off topic, but because I'm an Adam Frazier guy through and through, I will roast anyone that comes at you on Twitter. That my first victim is MLB.com. They did you dirty with the height. You are not 5'10". Based off of my calculations, I'm a short guy too, by the way. I get made fun of. You're 5'11 and a half. I just want to put down the record. Is there something we could do to get that changed? Because they're doing you dirty right now. We need to figure that out.
Well, I feel like if I say I'm 5'11 and a half, everybody knows I'm not 6 foot.
True.
But if I'm 5'10", they believe it, and I'm not less. I don't know. I would love to say 6 foot, but
I don't know, man. I say next year we try to, like, mix it in. Hopefully no one's really paying attention. We just put 5'11 in the bio. Like, we just get the 5'11".
I'll take it. I'll take everything I need it. And, you know, everybody would play with twice my size, so I need all the help I can get.
And I said this a couple weeks ago. I mean, you're putting on for short guys like me. I mean, I get roasted a lot saying I'm not an athlete. I couldn't do that much stuff because I'm short. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to redirect people that chirp me to your MLB.com. I mean, hitting 306 this year, putting on for all the short guys, man. Is that a chirp that fans have said to you in opposing ballparks? Like, well, is that like the number one thing they do, is like they go come at the height or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, you'll hear them, you know, be on deck getting ready to hit, and they're just like, stand up, things like that. Little things like that. Or, yeah, I mean, it's nonstop, but it's whatever.
What fan base gives it the worst? I've heard Chicago, I've heard San Francisco. Like, what would you say is the worst?
Those are pretty high up there. Wrigleyville's, you know, they're ruthless. LA's up there. San Fran is just nonstop, but I want to say Philly's pretty bad, and I don't know, those are probably top three, to be honest. Wrigleyville's tough to top.
So is that the worst one you've gotten, is a fan say stand up to you? Like, what's the most ruthless shit that a fan has ever said to Adam Frazier on a baseball field,
man? Hope you die, hope your mother dies.
Holy shit.
Yeah, what? I mean, yeah, it's been a while though. That was probably in Wrigleyville. But yeah, since I hadn't played outfield much lately, it didn't get as bad. But those guys wear it out there on the road.
I don't know how they do it. And I told this to Lupo. I'm like, because obviously he gets traded to the AL East, to the Rays. And he's dealing with legitimately the worst fan bases in baseball, in my opinion. The absolute scum of the earth, Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees. And I'm like, Loops, like, on the bright side, they moved you to first base. You're not dealing with the absolute, like I said, scum of the earth fans coming at you on $4 beer night or whatever at Yankee Stadium. So it's a blessing and a curse. So when you're looking at that lineup, let's say hypothetically you're playing in Chicago and you're looking at the lineup, you're like, all right, I play in second base. I'm a little bit off the hook today. Is that something that you've ever said?
No. It's fun. I mean, it makes you want to play better. You know, it's like, sure, all right, hit me a ball. Let me make a good play and, you know, or get a couple hits, and they're not going to say anything. So
let's go into the minors, because we're a big minor league podcast. We've had some hilarious stories of, like, I always say this in the podcast, like, fans climbing light poles with machetes in their hand. Like, people saying, I'm meeting you outside of the bus after a game, and legitimately meeting players outside of the bus. What would you say is, like, your funniest minor league story, or, like, story where you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, just a wild shit.
Oh, I hadn't had any fan experiences like that, I don't think. Playing in Jamestown, New York, I saw some interesting characters, you know, around the league. I would say, this is a story, not really about the baseball park, but that town. It was, you know, just got out of college, played nice ballparks, got a lot of fans, everything. We go to Jamestown, New York, probably average 150 people a night. So we're driving to breakfast down the main strip. It's about 10 a.m., maybe a little later, and this guy's walking this way, a girl's walking this way. They just shake hands, and there's a baggie hanging out of the bottom. Talking about mid-morning on the main drag, and that was my, you know, first month of minor league baseball, and I'm like, oh, what? This ain't gonna work. Like, how am I gonna do? You know, I'm in cities like this. It was crazy. It blew my mind.
It's still crazy to this day, man, how poorly paid and, like, how poorly treated these minor leaguers are. Like, I've seen some stories, and I think it was this year, where a hotel that a minor league team was staying at was fully booked, so they had to, like, sleep in the dressing room. Really? I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, it's like, and obviously we have a couple guys, like a pretty good amount of guys that play in the minor leagues. They will sometimes send me pictures of the meals they're eating, and it's like, what in the fuck is this, man? Like,
it's straight out of prison.
Did you ever play? So a couple towns that got absolutely roasted on this podcast: Beloit, Wisconsin. You ever play there?
No, never played there.
What's another one? Something Iowa. Fuck, I don't remember it. Okay, so what's the weirdest town you played in then, besides that one you just said?
Jamestown, New York.
Jamestown. Okay.
Altoona gets a bad rap, Altoona, PA, but I didn't think it was terrible. I think it's I stand up for them a little bit.
Yeah, you could be an Altoona guy. I mean, that's you might have to run for mayor there. But one thing, and this is completely off topic, but I had to go into this before I forgot. That All-Star Game video of you in the car, maybe one of the greatest video guests have ever been a part of on this show. How did that get recorded? Was there, like, a green screen? Because, like, part of my brain is like, was Frage in a car and they just recorded that? Like, how did that come? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, so they had that old Buick that we were in, just sitting in the, you know, I don't know, I guess this room underneath Coors Field. And, I mean, they had green screens around and all that stuff, but I'm literally sitting in this car, drinking out of this cup, acting like I'm cruising, and then they put us in a desert or wherever we were. And but yeah, the car was real. Everything was real. It was just underneath Coors Field.
That's so electric. I mean, that video, I tweeted, it's an incredible gif. I might use it for every situation I'm like, that's positive for me in my life. It's just an incredible gif. But when you made the All-Star team, where were you when you found out? How did you find out? And I mean, what was the emotions going through your mind there?
We were in Pittsburgh, and they actually got me. I mean, it was an hour before the game, which, so my routine, I'm getting in the hot tub an hour before the game, then hop in the shower right after. Well, they call a meeting, and it's like right before the All-Star break, obviously, they're like, hey, All-Star protocols and BS that we got to deal with. I'm like, dude, an hour before the game, like, you could have done this earlier, you know, yeah. What we got. So I'm literally getting out of the shower, and yeah, I'm in towels and stuff in the meetings for me. Well, I'm not the brightest guy on the block, but so I'm just like, I thought it was actually protocols. Well, Shelton has a meeting. Like, hey, I'm going to the All-Star game, whatever. And then, I'm in the towels and everybody's trying to, they're trying to video it and put it on Instagram and everything else. And I completely ruined that. So, but no, it was a lot of emotions, just kind of like a dream come true kind of thing. So,
dude, it's such a power move. The fact that one, you didn't even like really get dressed for the meeting. It just goes to show it's like, I'm the alpha in the room. And then the two, it's like your teammates are trying to, I'm assuming they were trying to like pour water on you. Can't do booze and all that kind of shit. And you're just legit in a towel, and one false move, you're on OnlyFans. I mean, right. One false move, you're on OnlyFans. So it's just, I mean, that's incredible. And then, so who was like the first person you called? I mean, was it the pair? Like, what's going on there? Who was the first person you rang?
Well, we're an hour before the game, so I didn't want to call mom and dad and brother. So I just sent them those three a text, the group text, hey, I made it. And then I just called them after the game. But, yeah, so that was a cool part. Well, they're announcing the starters that night, I guess. So it was like, if I don't get named the starter, you have to wait a few more days and then hopefully make it. So I found out that the show was going on during our game. So I kind of had to let them know, I don't know. Yeah. That was, everybody else found out during the show.
Okay. No, So you just sent a group text and they were just immediately for first book flight. But that All-Star game, you were playing with your teammate now in the middle infield, you and Tatis Jr. I mean, how electric was that? The first time you ever played with Tatis and you got to see how flashy, how disgusting this guy is in the field.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Not just him. I mean, the whole lineup was, half of them are future Hall of Famers. So it was like, I'm out here on the field with these guys and it's pretty awesome. But then, I think we turned a couple plays, double play maybe. Tatis and I, so that was cool. But yeah, the guy's incredible. He's kind of like the unicorn in the game. There's him and a couple others that are just that much better than everybody else, and it's pretty fun to be around.
It's honestly sick. It's just to see a guy like that. He started off, I don't think he started off his career that well, just kind of like what Vladdy's doing, and now he's just an absolute freak in nature. So not to be biased, but he's your National League MVP. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Everybody forgets the dude's only 22. So it's like, he's going to keep going and he's going to keep getting better. And he's going to, it's coming. But I think he's MVP for sure.
Okay. And obviously I'm biased too, just like you. I think that Vladdy's the AL MVP. Maybe you could talk me out of this here. Are you saying Ohtani or are you saying Vlad? Like, what side do you lean here?
Man, I'd have to dig into those numbers a little more, but just because Ohtani's got a 3 ERA, it's, that's adding a lot to the team. But Vladimir, my gosh, watching that guy hit, he almost killed me in that All-Star game, by the way. Almost killed Scherzer, but then almost took me out at the same time. So, and then he hit one off the scoreboard too. So it was like, that guy's incredible. So I don't know who's going to get it, but give it to them both for all I care.
Dude, they're both 20. I mean, Vladdy and Fernando are both 22. I can't even believe it, man. It's the most fucking insane shit of all time. But and then I wanted to go into that when you get traded, because you get traded a little bit after the All-Star break, I believe. Is that correct? Like a couple of weeks after? Yeah. So you had to trade a couple of weeks after the All-Star break. And part of you, I'm assuming, knew that it was going to happen sooner or later, right? I mean, did you have the hunch that it was going to be the Padres, or was it like you just didn't know where you were going to go?
No, I had no idea. I mean, people have been saying, I knew I was going to get traded, but it was the past month. It was like White Sox, Mets. So obviously you're thinking that, it might be them, might be them. And then, but the deadline coming up, you knew other teams were going to get in the mix. Padres were the last team I thought probably, just looking at that lineup from the outside. Looking in, it's like, they're not going to add anything like that to their lineup, or like me, I guess I should say. So then I heard it was the Mariners. Mariners came close. And then I guess the Padres happened first.
And we've never had a guy that's been like a massive trade talk guy, like a deadline guy like you. And I got to tap into your mind here on that, because luckily it's you and not me, because I would have been the cockiest human being of all time if I had like six or seven MLB teams knocking on the door to try to trade for me. What was your thought process during the time where you're just, your name is always in the news? You're always like, have a random destination you might go to, like these random proposed trades. What's kind of running through your head? Are you not really focused on that? Or is like in the back of your mind, you're like, man, I got to like pack my shit up and fly to wherever in the country.
Yeah. I mean, pretty awesome having that, you know, those teams want you like that. That was a good feeling, but I knew I couldn't control it. You know, I'd been in trade rumors for the past 3 years, so it was inevitable to happen at some point, but, no, I mean, I try not to think about it at all. I was just worried about playing good baseball, and I knew I couldn't control it. So whatever happened, happens. But yeah, definitely thinking, pack up the apartment a little bit, that kind of deal, which ended up getting traded in San Francisco on a road trip. So I didn't have anything packed. We both teams had off days the next day. So I ended up flying back, packing everything up, then flying back to San Diego. So, yeah, a crazy couple of days, but yeah, I try not to think about it at all.
So where are you? I mean, do you have like your own apartment? Or are you living with our guy Musgrove? Because Musgrove has a sweet spot, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm living with him. He's got a little guest house, and it's helped me out so much. And otherwise, I'd be stuck down in downtown in a hotel. So no, it's been awesome.
And Musgrove's apartment in Pittsburgh, I don't know if you saw, like he posted pictures of it. That might be the best place in MLB baseball. I mean, holy shit, what a spot. I wish I met him earlier because I would have, like, it's like a 4-hour drive from Toronto. I would have been there every weekend. I mean, it was that the best place on the team, or what was, like, I mean, that place was electric, no?
It was great. It was awesome. You had the views. You had everything. No, that was definitely probably the best spot on the team. Not many people had them. Had spots. If they did, it's like their family's 25 minutes out of town. No, that was just – yeah, he had a great setup there too.
So you get traded to the Padres, obviously, and with the other teams that you mentioned that were in the mix, they don't have guys that you played with just like the Padres do when you're talking about Musgrove, guys that you're close with. Was that the first message you sent to Musgrove, is like, let's ride? Like, what was the first interaction or message you guys had together? Was there a couple tears shed? Like, what's the deal with that?
Nice. He like news went down, obviously I'm they'd finished up in Miami. And we're flying back, and we were finishing up. I don't even think the game had ended in San Fran because they pulled me out. But I get a FaceTime. It's from him there on the plane, and he's all fired up. And guys sitting around there all fired up. So it was it was pretty cool.
Are you going to join our COD brigade, or what's the deal with that? I mean, we have me, Musgrove, Luplo. We have a couple other guys, but what's the deal? Like, are you a COD guy?
I'm more of Fortnite still.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't been on Call of Duty in a while. I mean, I literally don't even play video games unless it is Fortnite, just for the conversation. So, I hadn't played COD in a long time.
Sorry, I respect that. That just goes to show. I mean, that's why you're in the show, and I'm here out here grinding a podcast, because you put the work in. That's why you got to tip your cap. But, and I want to, one thing about Musgrove that people don't really realize is, would you say he's one of like the biggest locker room guys on the team, like the gel guy, the glue guy with the team that everyone really likes?
Oh yeah. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like Joe Musgrove. So, no, he's just a great dude. He's a great human. He loves, you know, helping guys out and everything else. And, not to mention he drags his sack down the mound every 5 days.
He's electric.
Gets us a chance to win every night. So, no, he's awesome.
He's electric. He is so fucking nasty on the mound. I didn't like, obviously I didn't watch Pirates games a couple years ago, but just like obviously paying more attention to what he's doing, he's insane. I mean, he was in Cy Young contention for like a pretty good amount this year with his stats and stuff. So it's good to see him have that success and all that kind of stuff. And you mentioned, wait a second, I totally forgot to even mention this shit. You fucking jump in a hot tub an hour before pregame?
Oh, every day. That's the routine, man. You got to get hot.
What else is the routine? What else do you do? Like, are you ripping smelling salts, maybe some dip? Like, what's the deal with that?
I will do the smelling salts, yeah. If it's, a grind of the day, you know, walk out in the dugout, you know, about to head out to the, you know, on the field, and just everybody gets a nice rip of that, and then, you know, that's a good way to get going. But yeah, other than the hot tub, that's about it.
That's it. So there's no music you listen to specifically, no artists?
No. I don't hardly ever listen to music unless it's on in the whatever's on in the clubhouse. So pretty low key. You know, I don't like getting too amped. I just get the body loose and go out there and play. I don't do Red Bulls or nothing like that. So
you're just a mellow dude, man. I can respect this. You're on like the opposite side of me. I used to be juiced up pregame. I'd step in the batter's box, immediate first pitch swing, and it would just be game over. But I can respect the fact that you're calm and all that kind of stuff. So you've never been superstitious like ever in your career besides obviously the hot tub stuff?
That's a different story. I mean, the hot tub's routine, superstitions are ridiculous. You know, I mean, I put the toothbrush in the same hole every day. Put the toothpaste on the same side of the sink, maybe switch it if it didn't work. Put the socks on the same foot first, maybe, if switch that if that doesn't work. I mean, it's bad. Yeah, it's all day.
But see, the thing is with that, and obviously I was the exact same way, which is like people sometimes roast superstitions, but it's like if that's just a part of your everyday routine. And so is it if you're missing something in your pregame routine, does that like make your day feel all fucked up? If your toothpaste on the wrong side or anything like that?
No, I don't know. I just do it and forget about it. But then once I brush my teeth the next day, I think about it, or that night or whatever. All right, we're moving this. We'll try this one out, see if it works. But that's why, like, the routine, the pregame is simple, just the hot tub. So can't change that one.
And going into, like, the first half of this year where you were named an all-star, I mean, you were absolutely fucking mashing. Part of me was trying to forecast trades to the Toronto Blue Jays for you in my mind. I was like, how can we make how can we put Frazier in my backyard here? But that's beside the fact. When you're hitting that well, is it just the superstitions are on an all-time high because you just don't want to fuck one thing? One thing gets fucked up, it's game over. Or was it just like, obviously you're a mellow dude, but what's going on there when you're hitting that well for such a long stretch?
Yeah, no, the superstitions just keep adding and adding. eat the same breakfast, all kinds of whatever you do that night, do the same thing. Oh yeah, that morning. I mean, it's everything. Every part of your day, what route you take to the yard, that changes if it it's or stays the same. So, all time high.
And when you're hitting that well, and obviously confidence is a massive thing in the game of baseball. Is it just like when you step up to the plate, it's every single AB is like, I'm putting a dub in the gap or I'm mashing a single up the middle. Like, is that just the mindset you have? And like a 1-for-4 day would be bad for you when you're in a groove like that?
Yeah. I mean, every time you go, it's like, I'm putting a barrel on something. No matter if it's in the zone, cause you understand the zone really good when you're going well. So, I knew if it was just out of the zone and you'd take it, but in baseball, I guess it's so important not to give away strikes, especially with how good these guys are now. But yeah, it's like every time I hit a barrel, if I go 1-for-4 and line out twice, you're not mad about that, you know. But it's you take all the hits you can get.
There's a couple guys on your team that are we've had a fuck ton of Pirates guys now that I think about it. But one guy that really sticks out to me is friend of the pod, massive friend of the pod, is Steven Brault. So okay. how close are you with Brault? I mean, were you guys, I'm assuming, came up together because it was like you, Luplo, all those guys that kind of came up in the system together. How close were you with Brault? And I mean, what was that guy's presence in the locker room like? Because he'll talk your ear off, Brault.
Oh, yeah. Brault's always on something. You know, he's got some interesting thoughts. We played together for a long time. So, yeah, we go have a beer or two here and there. We weren't super close, but we'd hang out here and there. But he's a fun guy to be around. He's always talking about something interesting. So he's going to keep everything interesting, you know, in life. So he's a good time.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And one thing, obviously we've had Jordan Comodina on the podcast as well, the bullpen catcher. He's an absolute legend, one of the most stylish guys in baseball. One of his things is he has this ongoing feud with the Ball Hawks in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you know about this feud. Do you know about this feud?
No, I don't actually.
So it's the Ball Hawk. So he is one of the most. And if you search his name on Twitter, it is just a shit ton of Pittsburgh Pirates fans roasting him for not giving them balls, because it's these people that are always, I mentioned it, Zach Hample, whatever his name is, the ball guy. All these guys is continue to ask him for baseballs. And what he'll do is he'll pretend to throw one up and then just immediately turn around. So there's an ongoing feud with the ball guys there. Do you feel like in Pittsburgh or even at other ballparks with a name as big as yours, if you give in to signing an autograph, it's like, I got to sign 5 million autographs. Like, do you try to shy away from that shit during the games?
Oh yeah. 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 Cause that happens every time. I've gotten to the point now where if I got some BGs that are about washed up, then I'll just toss them out at the end of the game to a kid and keep walking, or you break a bat, hand it to the kid and just keep going. Cause you're doing a good thing, but you're not getting stuck signing 100 autographs.
Wow, that's such a vet move. That is such a that is an absolute fucking power move. I got to tip my cap to that. You mentioned the Mississippi State, obviously you're a Mississippi State guy. We got to go into what happened this weekend. I mean, literally theft on the football field. So I got to bring it up to you. I want to get you riled up here for the people listening. It was lit like the guy. So I believe it was a kickoff, right? Or a punt. The guy's knee was on the ground when he touched the ball, which means the ball is dead.
Right.
And the refs didn't call it. Guy takes it back to the crib for a touchdown and they lost. So I mean, what happened there? What happened there? How mad are you?
I kept seeing that picture where he's kneeling with the ball. But then I watched the video and they don't show him kneeling with the ball. There's just seven guys standing around the ball, high fiving. Dude just swoops in out of nowhere and goes to the house. And so I was like, is this real that he downed it or not? But the game should be that close against Memphis, to be honest. Like, come on.
But you're not a Mike Leach guy. Are you a Mike Leach guy?
I love Mike Leach. He's one of my favorite guys to listen to talk. You know, I don't know if you've seen his interviews and everything else. They're awesome. I mean, they're electric, actually. But no, I think it's only his second year. The program was a little down when he came in. They had COVID last year. I mean, come on. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a break. But at the same time, we can't be losing to Memphis, you know.
What was the football team like when you were there? Were they a wagon? Like, were they good?
Yeah, that was the Dak Prescott time. So we were
my God.
Top five for a couple of years. Number one for a few weeks, which has never happened in history. But yeah, we were we had it going on sports-wise when I was there.
So is that guy, I don't know if you're close with him. So is Dak Prescott like on your bucket list for guys to have dinner with?
I would say that. We had classes together and stuff. But no, I mean, maybe that'll happen sometimes. If I see something, he did good and I did good, we'll hit each other with a message. So we talk once a year or so, but he's awesome.
He's so nasty. So I want you to, let's go back to the college days here for Adam Frazier. Because obviously being Canada, our college athletics are a joke. They get 20 fans at a game, no tailgating allowed, nothing. It's an absolute national embarrassment. Talk me through an SEC game day at Mississippi State. It's in the fall. The baseball team's not playing. I'm assuming you guys usually get Saturday, Sunday off, majority of the time. I believe so. Talk me through a game day. Fire me up a little bit here. What was it like?
So we rarely got Saturday, Sunday off just so we didn't go tailgate all day. So we would get out a few hours early sometime, hopefully, you know, and then we get out, you know, they got this, we call it the Junction. It's kind of like, you know, Oxford for us. They got the Grove that's famous, pretty similar, you know. They're probably a little more rowdy up there, but Mississippi State is it's a good time for, you know, you're tailgating all day and then you just hope to win. But the cowbells and a football stadium is next level noise. So it's worth seeing when the team's good, at least.
And what's that rivalry like? Because obviously you hear Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You have that video. I believe was that DK Metcalf who did the video of him like with the leg up pissing. Was that him?
Yeah. So DK Metcalf did the dog pissing hydrant, whatever. but then, like 2 years ago, I guess it was.
Years
ago. Who's that guy? Elijah Moore.
It might have been Elijah Moore on the Jets.
Elijah Moore, who's a really good player, he scores a touchdown, and I'm at this game, right? So does the DK Metcalf pissing on a hydrant. 15-yard penalty. extra point to tie the game, right? And this is like a minute to go in the fourth. They make a sick drive. Dude makes a ridiculous play, pisses on the hydrant. 15-yard penalty. This freaking kicker shanks the shit out of it. Dude. But then to cap this, Mississippi State dude's just rushing the field. The punter for Mississippi State runs all the way across to the sidelines and just running down the sidelines taunting, you know. Well, one of these big dudes, D lineman or something, steps out and just rocks him. He flips him, everything. Unbelievable moment. So the dude misses the extra point, loses the game because of the DK Metcalf, and then the punter dies.
And I'll say this, and I've tweeted this multiple times. College football to me is substantially more entertaining than the NFL. I fucking love college football. Like, college football is so sick. And another thing, you're from Georgia now. So have you bandwagon on to the best team in college football, Georgia Bulldogs?
No. So I'm from right outside of Athens. Tailgating in Athens is way better than Starkville, I will say. But I grew up, my dad's from Mobile, Alabama, and I grew up Alabama fan. So definitely not transitioning to Georgia.
Okay. So what fan are you, an Alabama guy or Mississippi State guy? Like, what team are you cheering for?
So I get a lot of crap for this, but, Alabama, it runs too deep.
I can respect that. And I forgot to mention this with the All-Star break. I got to go into the suit you're wearing. You want to talk about the most stylish dude putting his fucking balls on the red carpet at the All-Star game? The turquoise suit. What was the thought process with that? What went into that? Because I know for a damn fact you probably had that shit picked out in your brain for months because you knew you were going to be an All-Star. What, like, give me the background info on that.
So I didn't have it picked out for months. I had to make it happen first before I would even let people plan trips to Denver, because that's the superstitious part. But it was like, once I made it, I mean, I have a few suits, and I didn't want to be basic. I'm like, dude, I made the Major League All-Star game, you know, it might not ever happen again, so you can't hold back. And I talked to the suit guy who I use, and I was like, what about something summer-y, like mint green or maybe like a salmon color? And the mint green came out looking way better than the salmon. So I was like, yeah, let's try that one. And it turned out better than I thought it would, to be honest.
Holy shit. You want to talk about an absolute fucking power. I thought it was the best. I think you won the red carpet. Like, did they announce who won the red carpet? I don't even know. Like, was your suit the best one there? Were you like the most, I don't even know who else would be drippy there. Tatis maybe?
Yeah, Tatis was up there. He's the same guy actually, but yeah, I'll take that compliment. And,
I respect it. I'm going to name you it. I'm going to name you the unofficially best dressed at the All-Star game. And going into that, I mean, being a guy from the South, how Southern are you? Like, are you wearing cowboy boots? Because I have one rule in this podcast. It's never fuck with a guy that wears cowboy boots. That's my only rule. Because like I said, I got almost jumped by the rodeo team in Nebraska when I was there. So are you that South where you own like a pair of cowboy boots?
Oh yeah. I like to hunt and fish a lot in the off season, so I have a few pair of boots.
So we're gonna do something in the off season. I've always had this planned. I was gonna maybe ask one of our Texas guys, but I'm an Adam Frazier guy now. In the off season, obviously, I wear Nike Blazers. I'm like a city slicker, as some people would say. I'm gonna fly out to. We're gonna go. I guess Nashville, because you're there. I'm gonna fly out to Nashville. You're gonna give me the country experience. I'm gonna wear whatever country guys wear. I want to see how I look. I've never worn cowboy boots. I've never worn a cowboy hat. And what's that thing they put on their collar? What's that called?
Barolo or something.
No idea. I want the whole thing. You're dressing me. It's going to be a whole video series. It's going to be turning Canada country, and I'm going to be there. It's going to be all day. What a fucking genius that I just came up with that, by the way, but that's what we're going to do. So you own cowboy boots and you're a hunter. So that's what I'm assuming that's what you do in the off season.
Yeah, I do a lot of that. I do a lot of golfing until it gets cold, and that's about it, really. Go have a good time, go to some concerts. Nashville's got a concert about every night of the week, so that's a lot of fun too. Hockey games.
So what's your handicap?
I'm like a 10. I wish I could say I was better, but pretty average.
I'm like a 19. So, I mean, so it's not ideal, especially, and this is what I use the excuse. I live in Canada. We can only golf 4 months a year. So that's why I'm a 19. Have you golfed with Luplo? I heard he's pretty good. He shot like a 72, like 3 months ago, I think when he was on the DL or something.
Really? No, I think we might have a few years ago when he was with the Pirates, but it's been a while, and wish I could say I progressed like he had.
Dude, we gotta get Musgrove into golfing, because I heard, like, I'm assuming he's not a golfer, right?
No, we're working on it. He's been a couple times in the past year, so hopefully we can keep that going.
We gotta turn Musgrove into a golfer, because he would look like, I don't even know how to compare it. Like, he would look like just an NBA player on the golf course, where they're like, the clubs are definitely way too small for him. They have to get custom fitted. I need to see Musgrove on the golf course. Would you categorize Musgrove as a good athlete or just a nasty pitcher? Like, where would you put him on the realm of that?
Oh, no, he's an athlete. He had two hits last night. He bunted for a hit and a double. So
that's
just
so kind of all day.
Right there. Yeah. But no, he's an athlete. Likes to do, you know, I think he surfs, skateboards, all that stuff too. So got some coordination.
I'm surprised he doesn't wear hookah shell necklaces, and I said that to him. He's from Cal. I mean, I'm surprised he's not wearing the shark tail necklace. I mean,
he definitely used to.
we need to find a picture of Musgrove back in the day wearing the shell necklace, or like the shark tooth necklace, with his hair like Justin Bieber hair, just long as shit, wearing DC shoes, skateboarding or surfing. I guarantee you, Diane. His mother follows me. Diane, we're gonna get that picture going. We're gonna get that picture of Musgrove. Just a childhood picture of Musgrove. And another thing that I'm taking opportunity of this, I'll never ask you for anything on the planet. You've been retired from Twitter. I don't remember the last time you've tweeted. What's the deal with that? Why haven't you tweeted in a while?
I feel like if I tweet, I get in trouble. So I just read news on Twitter.
Okay. So this is, okay, never mind. Cause I was going to say, I'm never going to ask for anything. When this comes out, I guess it's going to be out by the time this drops. Can I craft your next tweet? That's what I'm asking for. A good tweet.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that.
I'm going to craft the tweet. So I'm going to craft the promo tweet for this episode tomorrow. I'll send it to you. We're going to get the Twitter popping again. I might even be your burner account. And I say this to all the guys. And when people come at Luplo on Twitter, I put them in an absolute body bag. I'll do the same for you. I'm going to keep my ears on the street. If anyone ever says something fucked up about you on Twitter, I got you. Don't even worry about it anymore. All right. You tell your family not to worry about it, because I'm assuming most of your parents or your siblings always will search your name and see shit that pops up. Is that right? They do that on Twitter?
Probably, I don't know. They probably do. I don't. I try to stay off that. But
so I got you with that. Don't worry about that anymore. I'm taking over the reins. That's what you get.
Appreciate that.
Let's go into this playoff run you guys have right now. Obviously, every single game means something. You guys are playing really good teams. You're facing the Giants. I mean, holy shit, they've been a wagon this year. How unreal has it been to just kind of play baseball games where every single day is nose to the grindstone, hard hat, absolute grind? I mean, what's that been like for you?
No, it's been great. Just get some blood flow going again. You know, then it was like, yeah, you get up for games again. You get locked in. You get some juices going. And I don't know, it's a lot more fun. And San Diego's off, the crowd here is electric. So it's been awesome playing in front of them too. I wish we could win some more games. We had a tough go at it the past few weeks. But it's a lot more fun to play baseball when it's meaningful.
You know what it is for me, that when I'll always think the Padres are absolutely nasty and like just a great baseball team, is the announcer. He doesn't get enough credit. I really don't think, when you want to talk about the best voices in baseball, when he called Musgrove's no hitter, when he calls a Tatis home run or a Machado home run, his voice is fucking dynamite. Am I wrong?
Oh no, he's absolutely electric. When I was in Pittsburgh, we'd get done with the game and I'd turn on the MLB app and I'm watching the Padres, one for Joe and one because the announcer, he's unbelievable. That's a lot of fun.
I don't even know what his name is. I honestly have no idea what his name is. People are going to probably roast me for this. I have no literal idea, but this guy, I want this guy to announce at my wedding. I want him to be the guy, like, I want him to be the MC of my wedding. I don't know. We got to get that, make that happen. I don't know what the deal with that is, but it is crazy, man. And then talk about yesterday, Musgrove obviously gets in trouble in the first inning. I believe he only gave up one, had the bases loaded with one out. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And he got Crawford to hit in a double play.
Yeah. So just seeing what Musgrove, I mean, his pitching has been elevated. I believe 2 weeks ago he pitched against the Phillies. Is that correct? And he just absolutely shoved. He told me that was the best as he's ever felt on the mound since even the no-hitter. Maybe it was, like, it was even better than the no-hitter. What's it like seeing guys like that that are like, even, I guess you can even talk about Tatis and Machado, but guys just elevate their games and just turn on a whole new fucking switch. I mean, how sick is that to see in the clubhouse?
Oh, it's awesome. Well, he's been doing it all year too. It's not just once or twice, but it's, I mean, it's, you know, he's going to leave it all out there, whether he's got it or not. He's going to grind through it if he doesn't and still give you a chance. So, it's pretty cool to see when guys have that switch, you know, not everybody has it. So for guys to just turn it on and just lock in and dominate, it's always fun to watch.
Do you think so? Obviously, this is a chance for you to pump your own tires here. Do you at some point realize that you have the switch? Because I have a couple stats here. You're literally hitting 360 in the month of September. And also, that was when we became friends. So I'm not going to take credit for it. I might take credit for it. But you're hitting 360 in the month of September. So do you kind of realize at some point that even like a guy like you, obviously, who's been raking this year, has a switch that you didn't even know about?
Definitely it's there. It's just a matter of, you know, staying in that lane and not falling out of it. But which I did for about a month when I got here. But that was, you know, lost the swing a little bit. That's most of it. If you can stay locked in with the swing, then you're going to be able to go on streaks like that.
Yeah. And then one thing this year that I don't know if we've had, I'm assuming we've probably had a guest like this, but that you hit a walk-off in Pittsburgh. I want to go into the thought process of what you're thinking when you're rounding around the bases or when you hit a walk-off, like you hit a walk-off in the major leagues. How fucking incredible is that? How sick does it feel to be like, I just put my balls on the table against a major league pitcher. I walked the team off and I just called game. I mean, is that the best feeling on the planet?
Yeah, that's probably up there. Yeah, I don't know. You're just trotting around tingling, you know, and like, fuck yeah.
it's such a power move. It's such a power move. And this is, again, I'm going to have to talk to Google here. The first thing that pops up when I search Adam Frazier in the search is Adam Frazier height. I'm going to get it dealt with. I'm going to get it dealt with. This is absolute bullshit. Should be Adam Frazier All-Star. But number 26, I want to go into number 26 because I think that's one of the most stylish numbers in baseball. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Adam Frazier guy. What went into that? Is that a number that you've always been, even in college? Like, what's going on there with the number 26?
No, that was what they gave me when I got called up. You know, some guys get screwed on numbers. Somebody got let go that a week or two prior and was 26, and that's what they gave me. And I just kept it like that. But now I'm number 12 here in San Diego, and that was college number. That's what, you know, all my handles, I guess, have been for forever. So I just went back to 12 because Nola's 26 and there wasn't many other numbers to choose from. So
I could be wrong on this. Did your college team have Brandon Woodruff on it?
Yeah. Him, Hunter Renfroe, Kendall Graveman.
What the fuck? What?
We had like 10 guys make it to the show. Some guys, there's probably four or five still in the big leagues. So we had a squad.
Did you guys lose a game? Like, what was the deal with that team? Like, were you guys just an absolute wagon just running through the SEC?
We did well. We weren't the top. We were probably third or fourth best in the SEC. And then, when it got tight at the end of the year, we got rolling. So we lock it in and get going. But we had a pretty serious squad.
So what would you say is like the most absurd stat that you remember of like Brandon Woodruff? Like he was playing an out of conference team. Like, did he ever go like seven innings, nine innings with like 18 punchies?
So Woody came in as a huge recruit, pitched well his freshman year. And they kind of got in on him a little too much, I think. And he didn't even pitch for us in Omaha. And that's the crazy part is we had three or four big leaguers that didn't even pitch for us that year or pitch much, I guess. But then he just hit next level stuff once he got to about Double-A, I guess it was, and realized what he had in the tank and just started, you know, turned into a new person, new bulldog on the mound. The guy's really good.
Oh, he's a freak of nature, man. And cool. I mentioned, I mean, another why, and like I said, I'm not one to pump my own tires here, But in my birth month, you hit 346 this year. So I just want to thank you for that. That's how I know we're boys, because just the random shit like that. I'll be like, in the month of May, Adam Frazier hit 396. But you're coming close to turning 30, man. So I mean, what do you have planned for that? What's going on there with that? Is it going to be a big party or anything like that? Because you're born in December, right? December 17th.
December 14th. But 14th. Honestly, I hadn't even thought about it. You know, I think I got buddy J.R. Murphy. I think he's getting married about that time. I don't know if it's the same weekend or not, but it might be down there turning into a party, or who knows. I don't celebrate my birthdays too hard. We'll see.
When you want to talk about absolute country guys, like, that's just as country as it gets. Like, just fuck a birthday. That's just such a power move. It's incredible. And then going into the last couple of weeks of the year, I mean, what is the feeling like in the clubhouse? Obviously, you guys have been struggling, but you guys got a pretty big win a couple of days ago, I believe, against the Cardinals. So what has it been like in the clubhouse? Just like everyone's locked the fuck in, like not really much fooling around going on? Or is it like the same thing as it would be on game one?
Nah, I mean, it's pretty much the same stuff. Obviously we haven't been winning as much as we'd like to lately, but so that's been tough. But everybody's the same guy. It's day one, really. Go out there, play hard, have fun, and see what happens. So start pressing and all that, it never works.
True. I actually probably pressed my whole career. And honestly, man, I do not think you want to look at my college fucking stats. It was a national fucking nightmare. I'm a Cook Community College in Nebraska. And then, so you guys are going to Atlanta this weekend. What is your favorite city to visit? Have you been to Toronto? I'm assuming you haven't, right?
Yeah, no, I've been once a few years ago, and that was awesome. I wish I could go back more, because that place is pretty cool. But yeah, I like Chicago. That's a cool spot. I don't know. There's a lot of cool ones, really. But
I think I would say Toronto's up there. I mean, I think a lot of people say Toronto's like the number, probably top five. But no, a couple more things, man. I mean, obviously, going into these last couple of weeks, and especially with how well you have been hitting, when did you kind of realize that you were getting out of that slump? Like, especially being as a hitter and all that kind of stuff, when did you kind of realize, like, all right, now I'm starting to a little bit see the ball better? Like, what did it take for you? Like, did you have to make like changes or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, finally you like started realizing a feeling, you know, you're searching for a feeling, really. And you know, I watched my own highlights for about the 100th time, and I'm like, oh, there it is. It's right there, you know, but it took that many times watching it to find what I was looking for. But no, it was probably a week and a half ago in San Fran. I think I had three or four hits one night.
That's literally right when we met. All right.
I don't know. It was a grind, dude. I mean, even, I don't know, I guess a little before that, start feeling like you're coming out of it, but it's not like there it is. It's like close, but not exactly what you're looking for. So I don't know, man. Baseball's a tough game. Every day is different. You feel like you know what you're doing one day and be lost the next. So,
and this is my dumb brain just coming at it again. Like I said, community college graduate, how hard has it been, the time difference for you? I mean, just the 3 hours.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a different world where I don't communicate with any friends at home. But other than that, I mean, yeah, I just feel like you're in a different place than everywhere else. It's a pretty big difference.
Dude, it's insane to me, and people don't realize it. Obviously, we've had a pretty good amount of guys from Cali and stuff like that. Even just the littlest thing is like college football games starting at 9 a.m. I can't even fathom how weird that shit must be. And then you guys are the last game, so after games for you guys, you can't watch other MLB teams play. It's like you guys are legitimately the last game every single night. So did that take a couple, even in your pregame routine and shit like that, did that take like a little bit to get used to?
Yeah, definitely. I guess luckily when I got traded, that we'd been on the West Coast for about a week. So that helped with the transition. But yeah, it's like you get in a routine. Like I said, in Pittsburgh, I'd come home after the game and I'd watch the Padres game most of the time. So your whole day's different. Whatever you're watching, pregame, shows, and postgame. So definitely take some time getting used to. But that was part of everything, just settling into a new environment.
True. I respect. And this is why, obviously, I'm a big Musgrove guy, and I'm going to do this for you. And we've had a couple big leaguers, humble brag, wear the officially unofficial shirt, as you can see right now, and the hoodie pregame I'm going to send you a hoodie down. I'm going to try to get this t-shirt down. I'm going to try to get this shit down. If you hit a nuke after wearing the hoodie, I mean, I might have to start selling this shit for like 150. I might have to start going there. But I'm going to send you a hoodie down because you're a big official and official guy now. And this is the last thing that I wanted to bring up here. I mean, I have a proposition. Luplo's a pretty good golfer. I'm kind of dog shit. You're like a mediocre golfer. You got to find a fourth in the offseason. Me, Luplo versus you in a fourth. We'll call it. I don't know what we're going to call it here. Maybe best ball. We'll call it, I don't know what we'll call it. The official and official classic. Let's get it figured out.
All right. Yeah, all right. I got to find a ringer then, you know, get on my team against Luplo, but we'll figure it out.
I mean, Luplo could be blowing smoke up my ass, though. I'm assuming – I saw his swing, and it looks absolutely fucking electric. My swing is terrible. So, believe it or not, I actually sold my driver. I was so bad with my driver, I had a meltdown, started punching shit, and I just sold it. I sold it on eBay the next day. So I use a driving iron. Are you a driver guy?
Yeah, sometimes, but I've definitely felt like that before. I mean, feel like snapping it, or are you gonna sell it? What are you gonna do? But no, it comes and goes.
Well, anyways, man, I mean, obviously this is big time. Credit to drunk me. If I could go back in time, I would thank drunk me for doing the FaceTime and then talking on the FaceTime. Cause I'll be honest with you, I'm telling you, all my life, I don't remember a snippet of that conversation. Yeah, I just remember legitimately FaceTiming you and Musgrove and like
sister. Yeah, good.
Now that you mentioned it, I remember what I said. One thing I did say was, if I wish I had a sister so you could date her. That's what I said. That's what I said. But anyways, man, like I said, we're gonna get the hoodie or t-shirt sent down because Musgrove's worn this a couple times. I posted on the Instagram. You're official guy now, and just this is contractual now. So every single time I ask you to come on, I'm assuming it's gonna be the off season. You just have to come on. Like there's just no other option. So that's the deal we have going. But man, it's been a pleasure to see what you've been doing this year, man. And like I said, now get ready to have a burner account on Twitter because you don't use it. Yeah. People are going to get obviously torched. If someone roasts you, they're dead to me. So anyways, man, best of luck tonight. Best of luck the rest of the year, man. And thank you very much for doing this, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.